Welcome in, everybody. I'm Christina Long, filling in on the desk today for Matt Jones, who is on his way to watch the Razorbacks play in Hoover today at 4:30, I believe, Central Time. We'll have all kinds of SEC baseball tournament coverage this weekend. Also, all kinds of softball super regional coverage. Yesterday's show, Matt Jones and Ethan Westerman were in here talking all things softball if you need to get filled in on what's going on when Arkansas hosts Duke this weekend. Today on the show, I'm joined by Tom Murphy, who's going to tell us a little bit about what he heard from Ryan Silverfield and others during Arkansas's all-in road show. They love to take their football coaches on the road before the season and kind of talk to fans and meet them where they are and talk about the state of the program. Tom was at a couple of those events, so we'll talk a little bit about what he learned there. Before we get going, I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass, who've been serving their community since 1971. They are committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, you can look no further than Bentonville Glass for all of your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can visit them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or at bentonvilleglass.com. And we also want to thank our friends at Eglin's Best. When it comes to game day, you want the best in your lineup, and that includes your eggs. Eglin's Best delivers more of the nutrition you need with 6 times more vitamin D and 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Score now with Eglin's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Visit eglinsbest.com for more information. We thank both of them for their support of our show. Tom, you kind of bookended the all-in road show, as they call it. I think they used to call it, like, they've called it several different things over the years. They've called it the one Razorback road show. That was the most recent one I remember. There's been several names, but they're really leaning into all-in with Ryan Silverfield. And you were at the first and the last, right? So the one in Fayetteville and the one in Frisco.
That is correct. And you capitalize on the coach's catchphrase while you have a chance. And this is the honeymoon period for them. And they're running with that all in. In fact, his wife, Katie, used it as I talked to her before the event on Monday night. So, but yeah, the first one, it was a tepid crowd, honestly, at the Ozark Music Hall.
Ozark Music Hall, yeah.
125, 150 or so people, I guess. But they tell me, the folks who've been at all of them, that it kind of picked up. Little Rock was good, had a good vibe to it. And then Jonesboro, Chuck Barrett described that one as really nice, like popping and active. And then, you know, I thought the one in Frisco where the fans are looking at the stage, so to speak, and out to the Cowboys practice fields, I thought it had a really nice vibe. Darren McFadden was there, which was, you know, a big boost to it, to be honest with you. And the fans seemed pretty energized, and it was a good one.
When you say the Fayetteville one was kind of a tepid crowd, was it just not a lot of people, or there just wasn't a lot of energy? And do you think it's just because people here have maybe seen and heard from Silverfield a lot before, whereas people in other parts of the state or over in Texas maybe haven't gotten to meet him or haven't gotten to hear from him directly yet?
Right. I think that's a good part of it. Ryan's been out in the community in Fayetteville a good bit, and you have to think of the venue. It has high ceilings, and so the acoustics are a little different, and people have seen him quite a bit. Also, it was 6 o'clock, so you had to kind of get off work and get over there. And so, and it wasn't packed by any means, and it helped to have the band there, the cheerleaders kind of increasing the volume, mm-hmm. so to speak, in the room. And there was a selection of band. What I thought was pretty neat, what they did, a bunch of the incoming freshmen introduced themselves to the crowd on Monday. And so these are kids that are from Frisco, all around the Metroplex area. And they're going to be first-year cheerleaders, first-year band members. And that's a good way to, like, connect the folks who are down there with, here's our next wave of kids going to Fayetteville. And, you know, I've always known it was a big number that comes out of Texas and out of the Metroplex specifically, but to see that kind of in action, like here's another, you know, another wave of kids coming up, was pretty neat to see. And the Razorbacks got a pretty strong presence down there.
It seemed like the big thing from Frisco was that was, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was the only one that Hunter Yurecek spoke at, correct? Because he had kind of been busy that week before. And so that Frisco was the first time that he actually spoke to the crowd at one of these?
That is correct. He mentioned to me that there was a college football playoff meeting somewhere in the midst of it. Mm-hmm. And he said another thing, and now I've forgotten what his other commitment was. But yeah, that was a curious to note that Rick Thorpe kind of gave the UA talk at the beginning where they go over the number of championships they've won in SEC play and what the team GPA looks like, and kind of a booster type thing to get the crowd going. And I referenced this in the story I wrote from the event on Monday that well, I actually wrote it for today's stuff, but that Silverfield mentioned to the fans, because a fan asked him the question, does it appear that money buys championships or money buys wins in the current game? Which, it's a pretty valid point. Indiana spent a lot of money, and Ohio State spends a ton of money in NIL. And so anyway, his response was, it does go a long way. And by the way, the doors are locked here because we're expecting donations before you leave. The Jones family has given permission, but it was a joke. And but he said, hey, the Arkansas team that we played against last year had more NIL resources and stuff than Memphis, quite likely, and they found a way. And so what he's done is he's guaranteed the fans, we're going to compete hard. When you leave our games, you're going to say they're out there competing very hard. And he wants that to be a contrast to what maybe you saw in some games last year. The Notre Dame game comes to mind, front of mind, where the competition level for Arkansas from the second quarter on was not really strong. And even though they were in a lot of games, they just didn't have what it took to close them out. And so he's saying to the fans, you come out and watch our games, you're going to see a team that competes like its hair's on fire. And as you're going to see a fight in this team.
I think in a lot of years, or maybe at, different programs, hearing a coach say, we promise we're going to try really hard, is maybe not super heartening. But I also think, to your point, when we're coming off a year where fans didn't really see that, like there was an apparent lack of effort, particularly defensively in a lot of those games, that actually, I think, goes farther than it would in a normal year. I think that's actually something that you do want to promote, is like, yes, we are going to try hard. And so I think, I think on its face that does sound a little odd, and it's kind of, it's one of those things that you wonder, okay, is that going to be all you can say? Is it going to be more of those kind of close game kind of situations where, oh, you almost had them, but you never quite get them, But I think at the same time, last year, even though they were in a lot of close games, I think when there was an apparent, it was very easy to the average person to see some of the lack of effort. Sometimes I think it goes a lot further. But I want to go back to Hunter Yurecek being there, because he kind of dropped a pretty important teaser about the name of Razorback Stadium, basically saying they've been using some big language in some of these announcements they've been making. They have not announced a stadium naming partner. They expect to announce one sometime in June. And when they announced the Tyson jersey patch deal, they used the same language. They were like, this is the most lucrative sponsorship deal in college athletics right now. And they kind of used similar language talking about the stadium naming rights. They said they expect it to be one of the biggest naming rights deals in college sports. And there are some really big ones. So what else did Yurecek say about that? Did you get a feel for kind of, like we said, that's coming in June, but what else did they kind of mention when they were sort of teasing that?
Right. So Rick Thorpe said that last Tuesday night in Fayetteville. He used the terminology, the biggest stadium naming rights deal in college football. So apparently they know what all the current ones are, and some of them are probably, a little bit older. You're going to get getting a fresh one, so the market changes. And that's the terminology he used. Hunter did not use that exact terminology, but said we're on the brink of a naming rights thing. So surely it will be a big one that has an impact on what NIL look and funding looks like in Arkansas athletics. And then after, I said, well, what's the timing of this look like? And Rick Thorpe said that there's some T's and I's that needed to be crossed to complete the contract. And then Hunter talked about the multi. I'll give you a little side note. There was a fellow that I bumped into at the table I was at while we were listening. And it turns out my wife or her mother is from Warren, Arkansas. This guy was from Warren, and he was a little older. So he graduated from high school there the year I was born. So So he's 18 years older than me, and I'm a little bit of a codger myself. And so he got to talking to me, and he didn't probably realize how important it was for me to hear everything Hunter was saying. And at the moment Hunter was at the podium, this guy's talking to me. I'm recording it, but the whole time Hunter's talking, and you can hear it on my phone, you can hear our conversation.
Oh my gosh.
At the same time. And so it's the most, I have a sound.
You do.
Issue, like a competing sound problem.
Bob Holt, our good friend, used to call it, what did he call it?
He called it ass.
Acute sound sensitivity is what he called it. He called it Tom's ass.
Oh, looks like Tom's ass is kicking in. Acute sound sensitivity.
Yes. So I'm sure you were on overload.
I was so overloaded because I did not want to be rude to the gentleman who I'd connected with.
Yes.
Like, my wife's family knows you.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to him. His name's Tom Barry, a well-to-do guy who lives on the PGA course down
That's
there in
awesome.
McKinney. Super nice guy. Really enjoyed meeting with him. So, Tom, if this circles back to you, I really enjoyed meeting you with you. And I could hear Hunter Juracek over our conversation, which was a miracle. But went back and listened, because you cannot hear two things at once mm-hmm. and interpret both of them. Impossible. So I talked to him. Then I went back and listened to what Hunter said. And it's the multimedia rights that he said over the course of 10 to 12 years, whatever the rights end up being, could realize as much as or close to $500 million. And when you say $500 million, it kind of sits you back a little bit that there's that much money at stake. But I think what it shows to me is Arkansas officials want the fans to know, look, maybe we weren't on the very front edge of NIL and being up and running, ready to go. But we're in the game, we understand, and we're on this. And they need positive news. They need good news when it comes to what is our fundraising, what does our NIL look like. And this is the groundwork of the front end of that. Now, once this gets signed, all the other schools they're all battling and trying to catch and stay in the game. So it's an ever-evolving thing, but Hunter seemed to be quite encouraged by those two events for sure.
Yeah, I'll be interested. The stadium name, part of why that's kind of caused so much angst is because the Reynolds name has been on there. That deal expired in summer of 2024. So we're coming up on 2 years that name has been on there for free. And based on, you know, this was some reporting I did last summer, there was schools looking at different naming rights deals across the country. It's really kind of hard to compare them because they all include different assets, you know, like there's only so many space. There's every stadium has different places you can put signs and put logos and display things. And so it's hard to kind of compare all of these one to one, but about what you can get typically is about $1.5 to $4 million a year, somewhere in that range for your stadium name. So if Arkansas is, you know, above that sort of standard, that would be really interesting. If they're at the top end of that, that would be really interesting, especially because it's, you know, the rights have been expired for a little while. It feels like they have some ground to make up. And so if they do have a truly very lucrative deal, then that could kind of paper over some of that delay there and some of what they maybe left on the table with that taking a little while. And then with the multimedia rights, right now they have a deal with Learfield that expires in 2028. And, you know, I know they've been meeting with representatives from all the big MMR companies. The big ones are Learfield and Playfly. There's a few other players involved. But we should be hearing, you know, sometime in the next, you know, months or closer to a year about what they're going to do there. You know, they might re-up with Learfield at a higher rate. They might end up going a different direction. And so, yeah, there is a huge amount of money that can be made from new multimedia rights partners. And so all of those announcements, all of those kind of sponsorship and deal spaces are important to watch, especially as everything kind of increasingly becomes about the financial picture. But as far as Silverfield, what did you feel like the remarks he made and the messages that he was providing? You've been really interested, Tom, in kind of tracking how he's connecting with fans and what the program is doing to reconnect and get people excited about football again and to get people to feel like this is their program again. Do you feel like was there anything new in any of his messaging or anything different that stood out to you about how he kind of handled this, you know, first sort of tour around the state and around to different areas where he's meeting different fans?
Right, and that's a great question, and I do want to circle back and answer that too. But also on the multimedia rights, that's the big mamma jamma, and that's the one that's got to be, that's got to make them a player. And you're right. I think what you get from the sense of fans is the frustration that it took this long to get naming rights on your stadium. That's unrealized money that could have had you more in the game, maybe more football. When you just don't know what it can mean, but it's unrealized money that I do sense the fans' frustration there. With Silver Field, I think good for him. He's toned down because when he first got here, the first I went to the pep rally thing that they had in the Walker Indoor on the day of the the first press conference, and he's promising a lot of wins or a lot of success, and so you can't quantify a lot of wins other than it's more than you lose and things like that. So you just don't want to overpromise. Chad Morris put his both feet in that mistake with all the lingo and the phraseology he used: hammer down, fast lane, foot on the, foot off the clutch, we're going to go. And they had a mostly pedestrian type offense and they didn't live up to it. So you say, we're going to win a lot of games, we're going to be very successful. Okay. Then you got to start doing that. But I do really believe he's grounded in what it takes to win, not just a bunch of fluff. You gotta grind, and I wrote about that some yesterday. Grind, make sure your players understand the work ethic, the standards you're going to hold them to, and winning, beating your man on a play-to-play basis. So I do believe he understands that. And what he did at Memphis, right, it was on the shoulders of Mike Norvell's success, but he did sustain it. Now, they didn't get to the very, very top level where they were winning championships in the American Athletic. So that remains to be seen. But I look at him and I look at what next year's SEC football is like as kind of the year of the American coach seeing what they can do. So it's Golish. It's Summerall at Florida, and it's Silverfield, and just seeing, because we went to the Nick Saban tree kind of era. Some of them were very successful. Kirby Smart's won national championship. Jeremy Pruitt was a flameout basically at Tennessee. So the Nick Saban tree era of SEC is still in play. Some of the coaches are still there, but Napier's not. Pruitt burned out or flamed out. So this is going to be kind of the, what does the near the group of four coach moving to the SEC, what does that look like? For Silverfield, I think it's just very important to get wins under his belt. You and I have discussed this before, but the Utah game looms very large. Super tough opener ask against Georgia in week three. But I do believe what I get the sense from the players is they believe in him. The coaching staff believes in him, and the work ethic and how they play is going to be there. But, will there be enough talent? Will there be enough at quarterback? Will there be enough play to play, like in-game tinkering and fixes you can make and exploiting the other team's weaknesses? How good their coaching is on game day, all that we're going to see in the fall.
I think your point about the American coaches is, I think that's going to be one of the biggest storylines throughout this offseason, and then, going through SEC play, is how those three American coaches in the SEC this year do. There was also Eric Morris from North Texas, but he's not in the SEC. He's at Oklahoma State. But that's going to, you kind of lump that in as well. And I
You do.
think the what's interesting about the three who are in the SEC is I think all of them are kind of starting on the back foot a little bit in terms of, I guess, PR or perception. Florida fans wanted Kiffin. Auburn fans wanted Summerall. Arkansas fans wanted all of the above. And I think all three of them were not necessarily, if you gave people on the internet the choice of who to hire, who would have been chosen necessarily. And so I think
Yeah.
all of them are setting out with something even more to prove than any other Group of Five coach moving up to the Power Four level. I think all three of them kind of have even more at stake there because of the way that they've started. And so that's going to be something that's really interesting to track. And I think Silverfield has handled that pretty well. I think he's kind of gone about everything the right way in terms of trying to get connected to people. I think what he's done in terms of bringing back football alums and kind of how he's handled sort of in-state relations, if that makes sense, with high school coaches, has been a huge advantage. I think doing, you know, and he is not the first coach to do this roadshow. They have all the coaches do it. But I think the way that they've done that has been really important. I think he is a very personable guy. He's good at the shaking of hands and kissing of babies. And I think that's really important, especially at this stage. Like you said, it's the honeymoon phase. Nobody's done anything wrong yet. And what I'll be interested to see is what he does and how he talks to people when they do start losing games. Because, as you said, it's going to start early, maybe, in some of those really tough kind of rude awakening games early. This is every Arkansas schedule is hard every year. We talk about it every year. This year it feels like it's particularly hard because of that Utah game and because of some of the SEC draws that they have. But I think what will be interesting to track is vibes are pretty good right now, and I think he's done a good job of taking them from maybe not great when the announcement was made to overall, I think overall better. I don't know that they're like amazing across everybody, but I think better than maybe it was. And then what is that going to do kind of as the product on the field kind of takes shape?
Right. Those are all good points. The one I want to hone in on, I think, is not to get too deep into the psychology of it, but what he's done with the in-state relations, I like that, what you said. I've talked to several former players. So you got Bray Cook, who's running the kind of former player personnel part of what they're doing, and the outreach was good. I saw a bunch. Joe Adams was up here a lot. Of course, he's closer. But I talked to Jarius Wright. I've talked to various other folks, DJ Williams and many others, since the hiring, and the outreach is meaningful to them. And to get into the psychology of the Sam Pittman era, I think when they had their first down year and there was some negativity, I think he kind of tightened up the hatches. The access closed off. Mm-hmm. And that was even the former players. And then you had the incident with Jarius Wright and Joe trying to come to the stadium. And no, they didn't really, you know, exactly follow the protocol call, but everybody on campus should know who they are. And you just kind of say, oh, okay, it's you guys. That didn't happen. And, you know, that caused a kerfuffle. And I think Sam, he's such a like good guy at heart that it hurt him that people were disappointed in him or expressed negativity. And it closed the barriers around him even further. So that's something Ryan Silverfield is going to have to be very careful about, is when the negativity comes, how he reacts to it, and how it affects him. It's some coaches, it hurts him to the point that it's a detriment to the way they run their program from that point forward. And I do believe, ultimately, after the 9-win season, and then Arkansas dipped a little, I think they won 7 the next year, and they had a losing record, I think that kind of started swirling around. I think it impacted recruiting and a lot of other factors. So you're right. Silverfield starts a little behind, but everybody's giving him a little grace right now. One personality aspect of him I like is, no matter what you're talking about, he can relate to it. In my sit down with him, you know, whether it was music, whether it was something in the NFL, some other aspect of college, he had a story that could relate to it. And when you do that, you make connections with people and they remember that. And I think he's quite adept at that.
Yeah, I think so too. That's something I've really noticed. I think he makes the effort with people. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, he has fundraising in his background. I think that's good. You know, from a cynical maybe perspective, it's like, oh yeah, he's really good at getting people to give him what he wants. But I think it's on just a basic personal level, like he's just a people person. He's just like a good guy to talk to. And you know, that builds a certain amount of goodwill. And then, like we were saying, how far does that get you when things start to go wrong? You know, do you get into kind of the Sam Pittman situation where people like you as a guy, people recognize that like you're, maybe your heart's in the right place, but like the results aren't happening, you know, do you end up getting in, and they're very different personalities. I don't mean to liken their personalities, but do you get in the same situation where it's like, I really like this guy, but like, man, need to win some football games.
Right. Yeah. And you know, one thing that's really cool is Ryan and Katie, they were a power dynamic. I talked to some folks really before this went down about him, and they were well regarded. Katie said this the other night in Frisco, that the way they met was they were out. I can't remember if it was when she took him to see the governor of Tennessee. He's like, oh, you know, she's a mover and shaker. That's the way people describe Katie, mover and shaker. And they were going to an event that she took him to the event. And that's kind of how they met. And you could kind of see probably from their standpoint, here's a person of, you know, influence, you know, intellect, and, you know, makes things happen from both sides of them. So they were a power couple. If they have success, they will be a big time deal at Arkansas. You know, they're kind of a package, and she's a dynamo, had children. We talked about Jordan Weber and how mm-hmm. much respect she has for the decision Jordan made to raise her kids the way she wants to, step away from it. If there's a time in a few years, it would make sense. Maybe she steps back in. Maybe Arkansas has co-coaches in gymnastics. Mm-hmm. But I'm going down a side road other than to say that I think Katie is a wonderful compliment. I think she will help him stay grounded. When the tough times hit, I think she'll be a good rock for him.
Well, we kind of saw that sort of dynamic in Eric and Danielle Musselman. I mean, Danielle was really, really involved in the community here. I think Katie and Ryan were very much like that at Memphis. I think it helps. I think Katie's from Memphis, so they were obviously very deeply connected to that community. But so, I mean, I think your point is well taken, especially when you talk about, I do think it's relevant to, you know, how they are trying to sort of build the brand of what Arkansas football is going to be under Ryan Silverfield, and as they're trying to kind of connect people back to this program in a way that we both agree, I think it really needs to be. People need to feel more invested in it, especially, you know, we've talked a lot. I've talked to Matt a lot on the show about the more everything becomes about finances, I think the harder it is to feel connected to a program sometimes, or passionate about a program, when it feels like you need a business degree or a law degree to follow them. Yeah. And I think if you can get back to, you know, connecting with people and people just liking the team and feeling represented by the program, that's going to help people feel engaged in a way that, you know, hearing that Arkansas doesn't have enough money is not going to help them feel engaged.
Yeah. And two thoughts I have. One, my father-in-law, loved him dearly. He passed last summer. Huge Razorback fan, big time. I'd bring him the media guides and he'd have them for, and he was a real big basketball fan as well as football, but he was really engaged. In the last several years, when NIL hit and the rosters were turning over more rapidly and it was harder to keep track, he lost his interest. It didn't mean as much to him that he didn't know the players as well. And there's a real component to that. And I think Arkansas is one of the bigger, more prominent states in that the fans want that connection. I think when I think of Florida, I think of like more, you know, cosmopolitan fans who, you know, if your roster is flipping around, okay, we can deal with that. We just want to win. Arkansas fans want that connection a little deeper. And then with Silverfield, I was going to make some other point. Oh, I know what he said. He said this. When we're out there running 110s at practice tomorrow, so this would have been yesterday, those players aren't going to be thinking about how much they're getting paid. They're going to be thinking about what it's going to take, the commitment we need to take to win. And if he can instill that in the players and the fans get the sense that the players care about the Arkansas on the front of their jerseys, they will buy in more into this program. But they have a ways to go to make that sell to the fan base.
Well, I think that's the perfect note to end on. Tom, thank you so much for joining us, and we appreciate everybody for listening today. We have live feeds now of these podcasts, so if you're listening live, thank you so much. If you are visiting later, you can always find our live broadcasts on YouTube and on Twitter and on Facebook. Please make sure to like and subscribe to our podcast wherever it is that you're listening, whether it's audio only or on video on one of our social media feeds. We really appreciate everybody coming to listen today, and we will have all kinds of baseball, softball coverage, like I mentioned, and all sorts of Arkansas football off-season stuff as the next few months roll on before we get back to football in the fall. Thanks, everybody.